Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
In Psalm 75, you are dealing with a psalm doctrinally that refers to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Let's look at the psalm and then notice these Second Advent references. I will stress them as we read through the psalm. Psalm 75, verse 1. Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks. For that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. So both of those are testimonies to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thy name is near. Jesus was here during his first coming, of course, and he's coming back. And his name is near then to Israel, who still doesn't recognize him as their Messiah. And then notice, thy wondrous works declare. Well, the opening of the seals, the sounding of the trumpets, and the pouring out of the vials certainly testify to the wondrous works of God, all those plagues that are happening during the tribulation. Verse 2, when I shall receive the congregation, I will judge uprightly. That's a testimony to Jesus Christ receiving the congregation of Israel and judging uprightly. He will be ruling over Israel on the throne of David in Jerusalem. Verse 3, the earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. I bear up the pillars of it, Selah. Verse 3 is actually the subject of our lesson today, so we won't comment on that one yet. Verse 4, I said unto the fools, deal not foolishly, and to the wicked, lift not up the horn. Lift not up your horn on high, speak not with a stiff neck. That's the way things are going to be during the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one, that's the Antichrist, and setteth up another, that's Jesus Christ. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red, it is full of mixture, and he poureth out of the same. But the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. Well, that's going to be a direct reference to Jeremiah chapter 25. And we won't read all of the cross-reference in Jeremiah chapter 25. But in Jeremiah chapter 25, beginning with verse 15, all the way then to verse 33, there is this mention of the cup. It starts in verse 15, thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it. All right, so they're going to do it. That's exactly what the wicked of the earth are going to do. They're going to wring out those dregs and drink from that cup. And that's the cup of the wrath of God. Psalm 75, verse 9, but I will declare forever, I will sing praises to the God of Jacob, which that will, you know, they'll do during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, of course. And then watch it, verse 10, all the horns of the wicked also will I cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. And you can read Revelation 13 and see the horns that are on the dragon. And you know, they reference to kings and those that are in authority. So those that are in authority that are wicked, Jesus Christ will cut off. And those that are in authority that are righteous will be exalted in that day. So that's Psalm 75. Now, when you read that, and I went through it rather quickly because I just wanted you to get a quick understanding that Psalm 75 doctrinally deals primarily with the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, In verse 3, we read this, "The earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. I bear up the pillars of it, Selah." Now, when I read that, when I read Psalm 75, verse 3, I was like, wait a minute. The earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved? Well, that doesn't appear to be in the context of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, not at first. And the reason that it doesn't appear to be in the context is that it is the word dissolved. The earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. You know what that sounds like? That sounds just like 2 Peter chapter 3. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3 and notice this. In 2 Peter chapter 3, the Lord is dealing now with the day of the Lord. And notice what he says in verse 10. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which," watch it, "the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be," now here's the word, "dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" Verse 12, "looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, when the heavens, being on fire, shall be," there's the word again, "dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." So when I read Psalm 75, verse 3, and it said, "the earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved," well, you know, immediately my mind went to 2 Peter chapter 3, where the heavens and the earth and the elements melt with a fervent heat and are dissolved, where the result is a new heavens and a new earth. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, that doesn't occur until the end of the thousand-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't occur until, you know, the heavens and the earth fly away and there's no, found no place for them when God comes back on, you know, down in the white throne judgment to judge at the end of the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ. So I thought, wait a minute, what am I reading? What are we reading in Psalm 75? Until I realized, wait a minute, you know what, we better define the words. And the word dissolved is where the problem comes from. The problem is solved when you study the definition of the word dissolved. Now, let me say this first of all. You don't have to be a scholar to define dissolved. You don't have to know Hebrew. You don't have to have a Hebrew lexicon. You don't have to know Greek. You don't have to find a Greek translation of the Old Testament. You don't have to have a Greek lexicon. You don't have to go do a word study in a language that you don't understand in order to find out what God meant when he said dissolved in Psalm 75:3. You know what you need? An English dictionary. That's all you need. Because the word you understand is dissolve. And if you get an English dictionary and you look up the word dissolve, you find out that it doesn't just mean to like dissolve something in a solution of water, which you do in chemistry, and it doesn't mean to melt like you see in 2 Peter chapter 3. It doesn't only mean that. It also means dispersed or to disperse. And so when he says the earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved, the inhabitants are dispersed at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're not out of context. The earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved is true at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ when you understand that the definition of the word dissolve also means disperse. Let me give you some cross references here so you understand that the word is exactly right and that the dispersion of the enemies of God, the enemies of Israel, happens at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in Psalm 68. Psalm 68, fabulous passage of Scripture. concerning the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can see that when you do your own study. Now look in Psalm 68 at verse 1. Let God arise. So that's the coming of Jesus Christ. Let God arise. Watch it. Let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. Dissolve. The inhabitants of the earth are dissolved. They are running for their lives. They're scattered. Look at verse 14. Same psalm, Psalm 68, verse 14. When the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as snow in Salmon. Let's look at some more. Psalm 89. Psalm 89. We don't have to be in a rush on this. We want to be thorough and make sure we get it. Psalm 89, look at verse 10. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. Again, second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he makes bare his holy arm, the enemies run for their lives. Psalm 92. Psalm 92. Look at verse 9. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. Now notice in Psalm 92, in verse 10, he talks about the horn again. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. So the horn of Jesus Christ is established above all, and then the horns of the righteous, those who would rule over those nations that remain, are also exalted, and the horns of all the wicked, the Antichrist and his followers and the kings that supported him, are all debased. They are all destroyed. One more time for good measure. We'll go to the book of Isaiah because there are several references that we want to see in this book. But Isaiah chapter 33, Isaiah chapter 33, and look at verse 3. At the noise of the tumult, the people fled. At the lifting up of thyself, the nations were scattered. Look at verse 5. The Lord is exalted. You see, we're in the context of Jesus Christ returning. Verse 2, O Lord, be gracious unto us. We have waited for thee. Finally, he comes. Our salvation also in the time of trouble. Well, that time of trouble is Jacob's trouble. It was a reference to the tribulation. And notice the salvation comes during that time. And what happens? At the noise of the tumult, the people fled. At the lifting up of thyself, the nations were scattered. I love it. I love it. You know, what's so rewarding is to look at something in the Bible, realize, wait a minute, does it seem to make sense the way it is right now? You go and you simply do a little extra work like checking a definition, look at some cross references, and you see that what you're reading is absolutely right. I love for the Bible to confirm the truth of its own testimony time and time again. And at the same time, to teach us things that we would not have known had we just been casual in our study and casual in our reading. All right, now go back to Psalm 75. Psalm 75 is a psalm concerning the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the difficult passage at first was verse 3. The earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. It just sounded too much like the melting of the elements and the burning of the heavens and the earth to form the new heavens and the new earth that you find in 2 Peter chapter 3. All that takes place not at the second coming of Jesus Christ, but at the end of his millennial reign. And so at first, Psalm 75 verse 3, the earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved, look like something that might be out of place, or maybe I didn't understand the rest of the context. But when you look up the word dissolved, you realize that it's absolutely right. The earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. The inhabitants are dispersed. That's what dissolve means, to disperse. And they are dispersed. They're scattered at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, just like you've seen in the cross references. But then notice this. The Bible says in Psalm 75, verse 3, the earth is dissolved. The earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. So the testimony is the earth is dissolved. And that really sounds like 2 Peter chapter 3 until you look at the definition of the word dissolved. And then you realize what he's saying here is that the earth is broken up and detached. That's what it means. If you look up the word dissolve, that's what it means, to break up and to detach. It means also to melt, like you see in 2 Peter chapter 3. But as you know, many words have more than one definition. So the earth is broken up and detached at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, first of all, you would know this is absolutely true. And the reason is that you would remember back to your study of the book of Revelation. Undoubtedly, you've read it. People always want to know how the book is going to end, right? And in your study of the book of Revelation, or in your reading of the book of Revelation, you are reminded right now of a great earthquake that takes place at the end of the tribulation. That earthquake is found in Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal. So that's the second to the last seal. The seventh seal opens, and when that opens, you know, the Lord is ruling. The sixth seal opens, and what? There was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. The stars of heaven fell into the earth. So things out in space are going out of whack, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken up a mighty wind. The heaven departed as a scroll. So things are really shook up, and there's a great earthquake on the earth that you see in Revelation 6:12. You also see the same earthquake in Revelation chapter 8, verse 5. The angel took the censer. This is when the seventh seal opens. And filled it with the fire of the altar, cast it into the earth, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings, and, watch it, an earthquake. There it is. In Revelation chapter 11, look at verse 19. What do we find? Revelation chapter 11, verse 19. The temple of God was opened in heaven. There were seen in the temple the ark of his testimony, a testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. When did this happen? When the seventh angel sounded. You see how all of these references to this earthquake happen at the end of the tribulation. Revelation 16:18. And there were voices. See, verse 17, the seventh angel poured out his vial. So the seventh angel pours out his vial. The seventh trumpet sounded. The sixth seal is open right before the seventh, which ends it all. And what do you have? There were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. So what's happening is, when he says here in Psalm 75, verse 3, the earth is dissolved, he's talking about it breaking up and detaching. That is, this earthquake is so massive, it's causing tremendous shaking in the earth and lots of destruction. But then the earth is also messed up in its orbit, just like you see those stars falling out of heaven. And you see this detachment, like from where it is right now, you see this in Isaiah 13. Let's look at that. Isaiah 13. I'm enjoying, I hope you are as well, this study because what it shows you is when people say the tribulation is going to be bad, this earth has never experienced anything like what it's going to experience. And there are people who say, well, you know, the church is going to go through the tribulation and we're already beginning to see that now. No, you're not. Nothing like what you're seeing in the Bible is taking place at this point. Look at this, Isaiah 13:13. The Bible says, therefore I will shake the heavens and the earth shall remove out of her place. There it is. That's the dissolving of the earth. It is detached from its orbit. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. Yow! That's major. Look in Isaiah chapter 24. Look at Isaiah chapter 24. Isaiah chapter 24, and look at verse 18 and 19. And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit, and he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken into the snare, for the windows from on high are open, watch it, and the foundations of the earth do shake. So it is absolutely just, what do we say, coming unglued. The foundation of the earth do shake. Look at verse 19. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. There's that word again. Just like we saw in Psalm 75, verse 3. And it is a reference to the tribulation. It is a reference to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The earth is clean, dissolved, meaning that it is broken up. It's detached. It is moved, the Bible says, exceedingly, exceedingly. The foundations of the earth do shake. Look at verse 20. Isaiah chapter 24, look at verse 20. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. So now you have it, it's not in this peaceful, nice, smooth orbit that it's in right now and nice spinning. Now it's rocking back and forth. The axes are pitching back and forth. Look at Isaiah chapter 24. That's where you are. Look at verse 1. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty and maketh it waste, watch it, and turneth it upside down and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. There it is, Psalm 75, 3. The earth and the inhabitants thereof are dissolved, meaning that the inhabitants are scattered and the earth is broken up. Look at verses 4 through 6. I love the Bible. I love the Bible and I love the words. Because once you cross-reference them, once you define them in your language, in English, it opens up so much more of the Bible and puts all these things together as one. Isaiah 24, 4, the earth mourneth and fadeth away, the world languisheth and fadeth away, the haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. Tragic. It's just terrible. Now go back to Psalm 75, verse 3, because now that you understand what he meant when he said the earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved, you also understand in Psalm 75, verse 3, why he said, I bear up the pillars of it. Because listen, if the earth is reeling to and fro as a drunkard, if it is being moved and broken up, the only thing then that would keep it together, the only thing then that would keep it from being annihilated is that the Lord still has it in his control. That's why the Lord says, I bear up the pillars of it. That's what's keeping it together. You know, I'm reminded like Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. The fact that the earth is in its regular order now and everything is staying together. People say, well, that's gravitational pull, and that's because, you know, everything congealed and conglomerated after the Big Bang and started spinning and all that. No, no. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So it's not the Big Bang, and it's not all spinning. It didn't all congeal. It's not just gravitational pull and a force that can't really be defined. No, he made the worlds. Watch it. Verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, watch it, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. You know why the earth doesn't go completely to pieces before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because he is upholding all things by the word of his power. what he says here in Psalm 75, verse 3, I bear up the pillars of it. In other words, it's not coming to pieces because I got it. I got this under control. That's the Lord. And only He could do a thing like that. Colossians chapter 1, just for good measure. Speaking of Jesus Christ, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. If it weren't for the Lord Jesus Christ, it would be obliterated under the pressure and weight of all that's happening during the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But because of the Lord Jesus Christ, the earth and all the inhabitants thereof are merely dissolved, not destroyed. That's coming later. The inhabitants are dissolved because they're dispersed. They're scattered at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The earth is dissolved because it's broken up and detached. Those are the definitions of the word dissolved. It's not just, dissolving a powder into a solution, for instance, or melting something like you see in 2 Peter chapter 3. So I really hope that the study of Psalm 75 today has been interesting to you, that it's also been helpful to you. Perhaps you've come across this verse of Scripture and thought, wow, I wonder what he means there. Well, now you know, because you've been able to see the cross references. You've been able to see the context. And the truth of the matter is, I hope this study has been helpful for you in another sense, and that's this. When you see something in a Bible verse that doesn't seem to make sense to you, define the word. Check the context completely and look at the cross references to other places in the Bible that refer to the same thing. Because when you do those three things, and pray, of course, what happens is the Lord reveals to you in His words the full picture so that you understand what you're reading and it makes sense to you. And you don't have to sit there and just scratch your head and say, well, I don't understand this. You've done the study, and you've defined the word, you've checked the context, and you've looked at the cross references so that God can show you exactly what He's saying, just like we've done in Psalm 75 and verse 3 today. I pray this has been a blessing to you. May God bless you as you study your Bible. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.